the first thing we really have to do is to define the spiritual path in the context of today's world. And to understand how drastically the spiritual path has changed, we really have to acknowledge that never before in human history have we as individuals had as many choices available to us as we do today. I mean, in so many parts of the world, we can now choose our education, our career, whom to marry, whether to stay single. We can get a divorce, we can have children or not. We can choose our religious orientation if we even want one. We can change careers, we can start our own businesses, we can create wealth, we can be open about our sexual orientation, we can even change our gender. I mean, the list is endless in terms of what choices are available to all of us. And of course, it hasn't always been this way, right? For much of human history, our main focus was just survival. Mankind was very busy killing each other over territory or wealth or really silly stuff like religions. And women were largely considered to be property, and with very few exceptions, we had absolutely no power of self-determination. And not conforming to society's religious beliefs or traditions was, for a very long time, very likely to get us killed in very unpleasant and inventive ways. So for thousands of years, and in some parts of the world today, our survival and our safety just depended on fitting in and conforming to society's version of good and normal. We just didn't have any opportunity to really change our lives. I mean, in the Middle Ages, if you were born as a peasant farmer, chances are you married the daughter of a peasant farmer, you stayed a peasant farmer, and then your children also became peasant farmers. Trades were passed down to our children, right? You just were what you were, and you stayed in whatever box you were born into. There was also violence, disease, and starvation, and most of us led very, very hard lives of hard labor. And if you were a woman, not only was there a lot of work, your job was to crank out babies and hope that the process did not kill you. So life pretty much sucked for a very long time. And the thing is, we had no way out. We just didn't have any choices available to us. And so we really couldn't change our lives. So if you consider that these were the conditions under which the physical experience existed for all of us, what was spirituality even supposed to do for us? What could it possibly do for us? Well, the old spiritual path was really about escapism and comfort. Spirituality basically comforted us in knowing that, hey, one day we will transcend the sucky physical experience, whether it's getting into heaven or paradise or reaching enlightenment, moksha, nirvana, whatever you wanted to call it, whatever traditions you were in, we would escape the physical experience for something better after death. And of course, there were lots of strings attached and very strict rules to follow in order to attain this escape, which would only happen after death, which is very conveniently unprovable. But you know, even religious rituals provided some relief from everyday labor. I mean, if you think about it, going to mass, for example, was just an opportunity to take a break from doing work in the fields if you were a farmer. So even in the small things, there was comfort found in spirituality. It was just about taking a break and escaping from how hard life really was. So we were also comforted by the idea that God had some unknowable plan for us that invariably involved our suffering, because what else were we supposed to think? Life was really, really hard. And so we created reasons for why life had to be really, really hard, because everybody's life was really, really hard. So we just collectively came to the conclusion that, you know, we were all sinners and there was something deeply wrong with us and we were just made wrong and we had to work really, really hard and suffer in order to earn our way out of this rather horrible physical experience. Under those conditions, that kind of reason and logic kind of makes sense. So while we couldn't do much to change our physical circumstances, we could completely escape them during our lifetime back then by just giving up all attachment to the physical plane, right? So we could renounce the physical experience. We could join a monastery or convent. We could go sit on a mountaintop and meditate all day, give up our possessions, give up sex, give up our family, right? There was certainly that path of escapism also available, which, you know, was also a very, very hard path. So basically, no matter what, our physical experience was kind of awful, and spirituality was all about transcending it, getting out, escaping the physical, or at least while we still had to be here, to find comfort in the idea of a much more pleasant afterlife, that there would be some sort of reward for us and for all of our suffering after this lifetime. Now, compare this to today's reality. I mean, never has it been as safe as it is today to be human. And I know if you turn on the news, you would think that the world is about to explode. But really, if you turn off the news, which I greatly recommend, I mean, if something really happens that you need to know about, you will hear about it, I promise. But if you just really look at your physical experience, chances are it's quite peaceful. Your physical body and your physical safety are not being threatened. Your property is not routinely being threatened. It's just never actually been this safe to be human. And that's why we also live a lot longer. Life has also become infinitely more enjoyable. I mean, we have food in the grocery store. We don't have to grow it. We don't have to hunt it. We can certainly choose to, but we don't have to. We have things like air conditioning and indoor plumbing and antibiotics. And personally, I also really enjoy my iPhone. So the list goes on and on of things that make life very, very pleasant. And for the first time in thousands of years, women can be as financially, sexually, spiritually, and personally self-expressed as we want. We are no longer property, and we no longer have to fear for our safety. And things for women have really changed even in the last 50 years. I mean, back in 1974, we still had to have a man with us in order to apply for credit. Like, we couldn't do it on our own. You couldn't get your own credit card. All the way into the 1970s, that's like mind-blowing if you consider just how much the world has changed for women in the last 100 years, how far we've come. So the most radical changes in society have definitely come about over the last 20 years with the advent of the internet. I mean, now information on just about everything and anything is freely available for our education, and we can now, as individuals, connect with and have impact on millions of other people, which is really mind-blowing. Our sense of community is so much bigger now. And our survival and safety is no longer dependent on fitting into the little boxes designed by family and society. I mean, today, no matter what you believe, no matter what freaky thing you're into, you can find like-minded people. You can find community. And so that makes us so much braver in expressing ourselves. And it also allows us to communicate with others and look what other people are doing. And again, that expands our perception of what choices might be available to us. So because we now have infinite choices available to us as individuals, spirituality doesn't have to be about getting out anymore. We don't have to escape the physical experience anymore. It's lovely here now. And for the first time in human history, what we're actually able to do is ground the fullness of our spiritual potential and make our human experience a reflection of our divine nature, because now we have actual freedom of choice. We're able to take spiritual wisdom and insight and apply it to our lives in really practical ways, all because we have this amazing power to choose. Finally, we're able to fully exercise free will, because that is the divine gift we've all been given. And so we can now fully engage in creation through choice. And so this is the most incredibly exciting time to be incarnated. We should all congratulate ourselves that we chose to come onto this planet right now, because human life, incarnation, has never been this good. So we're truly only limited by ourselves. We impose limitations upon ourselves. They really are just perceived limitations at this point. Because in every moment, new choices are available to us that allow us to express more of our inherently abundant divine nature. Because that's the thing, our divine nature is so abundant. And now we also have this abundance of choice available, which means that we can express our divinity into our humanity and create this amazingly abundant, beautiful, playful human experience. And never has it been available to us before, ever, throughout human history. It's remarkable. It's an amazing opportunity that all of us have right now. So that sounds good, right? So then the question is, well, why are so few spiritual seekers creating infinitely abundant results? Because that is not really happening for all students of consciousness, is it? So why not? If we have such opportunity available, if divine self-expression is now, you know, totally available to all of us, why is it not happening? You know, if infinite abundance is so available to us, why are we still going to jobs that are just okay? We don't really like them. We're willing to tolerate them, right? We're tolerating lives that are centered on getting the bills paid and maybe saving for retirement. I mean, our souls did not incarnate, especially not right now, in order to pay the bills. And, you know, retire with a little money in the bank. I'm pretty sure none of us came here for that particular experience, or to go to a job that, you know, we kind of hate, but we have to do it. Yeah, we don't have to do that right now. We really don't. So why are we still squeezing ourselves into old, dissatisfying relationship models? And they're not working anymore. I'm sure you've noticed that, right? And why are we still experiencing less than ideal states of health if infinite abundance is so available? So we have to consider that new spiritual teachings have emerged that are more aligned to the relative pleasantness of human life today, right? We've learned things like universal law. We've come across the concept that we're the powerful creators of our own experience. We've also been told that, hey, you know, the universe apparently conspires with us to give us what we want if we just know how to work universal law to our advantage. So now the teachings have become that instead of waiting for heaven, we have this new perspective that embraces that we can create the abundant experience that we want, that we can basically create heaven on earth while we are incarnated, during our lifetime. We don't have to wait. So that perspective has really come into consciousness over the last 20, 30 years. But the unfortunate truth is that most people are still only using even this new spirituality for the same old reasons: escapism and comfort. You know, we've replaced old religions with these new beliefs and perspectives, but we're still utilizing the new beliefs and perspectives in exactly the same way as we used old religious beliefs. So instead of going to church on Sundays, now we go to yoga class to get our feel good on, right? Instead of saying, oh, it's God's will, we say, oh, the universe must want to teach me a lesson. I mean, I hear people talk about the universe so much, and it's like the universe is to blame for everything now. It's like, oh, the universe must want me to do this, or the universe is trying to tell me something. I mean, but really, it's just different terminology. We might as well still be talking about God's plan for us or God's will. And really what it boils down to is we don't know why what's showing up is showing up. That's basically what we're saying, but now we have New Age terminology to basically say the same old thing. You know, instead of following religious laws, we create vision boards, we try to raise our vibration, and then we hope that the universe will deliver what we want. So along with the Bible-thumping religious right, we now have what I like to call the crystal-thumping New Age left. Guess what? They are just as loud and just as intolerant. They also think of money as evil, and they are very dismissive of the whole physical experience as being, you know, lower. Oh, it's unspiritual, the material world. You know, it's still about escapism. It's still about wanting to meditate all day or channel all day. I mean, it really is exactly the same as it used to be, with a lot of new terminology thrown in there. And that terminology is being used so inaccurately, people are just tossing around spiritual sounding language and they don't even have it defined in their heads. I mean, it really is kind of crazy. You know, and instead of accusing others of sin, now that we've got people who are just very snarky, and if something bad happens to you, they're just like, so how do you think you attracted that, right? Or they're bragging about how very close they are with various archangels, but at the same time, they're totally broke and unhealthy. It's just very incongruent. I've never come across so many people who are like spiritually competitive almost, right? They're in spiritual overachiever mode, wanting to get that gold star from God and proving to everybody how very spiritual they really are because they channel Archangel Michael. They're like this, right? So, I mean, that is a lot of where the New Age world has gotten to. So yes, we have these new spiritual teachings, and yet what's happening with these newer teachings is exactly the same thing as what we've been doing with spirituality for thousands of years, which is using it for escapism, right? Oh, if I just envision it, the universe will deliver more money into my lap, right? That's both comfort and escapism at the same time. We're really, really good at it. And we've just replaced one set of belief and terminology with a new one. And yes, the new perspective have brought heaven closer to us, but only as a concept and only as a way to comfort us. So the new spiritual path, on the other hand, that you are invited to right now is about embracing the physical experience and all it has to offer as our playground of divine self-expression. We have to remember all our souls have one core choice in common. We all bothered to get into this physical body. We all chose to incarnate. Our souls all chose to become physical. And so the new spiritual path that is available to us is about really embracing that we are a body as well as a soul, and that there is nothing unspiritual under the sun, and that everything that comes along with the human experience is sacred and divine. That includes things like money and sex. There is nothing unspiritual. And if we want to ground our divinity into our humanity, we have to embrace all of it. I mean, I have to say, my least favorite people are the ones that just think that money, you know, we should be beyond money. Like money is something dirty or just something unspiritual. I mean, God, there is so much good you can do in the world if you have more money. There really is. You can take care of your family, your community. You can take care of people who are starving in other parts of the world. I don't know what's more spiritual about struggling to pay the mortgage. I mean, if we're constantly worried about money, where is the divine in that? So I really have very little tolerance for people who look at these ordinary parts of everyday physical life that can make life so wonderful and such a beautiful expression of our being, and just denounce them as being less than. So I really invite you to wrap your arms around everything that is the physical experience, because that is what's required if we're going to ground our divinity into this human experience. There's no part of the human experience that we can go, oh, I like this part of the human experience, but that, no, no, no. Mm-mm. We either embrace all of it, or we just go back to doing escapism. And the escapism is not working. It's never really worked for us. And the thing is, right now, so much more is available. I mean, that's what's so mind-blowing. What we can accomplish right now, what we can create in our lives, is exquisite. So this also means, though, that the time for spiritual practice is over. Spiritual practice had its time and place. Spiritual practice, a lot of, especially meditation practices, was about making us less reactive. Because for a while there, we were incredibly violent as human beings, and we were very reactive. It was very instinctive. It was very tribal. It was about protecting ourselves and what we had, right? And so we evolved our consciousness through spiritual practice so that we learned to think before doing. And so spiritual practice definitely got us ready. It got us here. But now we're ready to actually step off the yoga mat or the meditation pillow and get on with spiritual doing. Now, mind you, I've been to like 10-day silent meditation retreats, and that was really hard. But spiritual doing, it's more rewarding, and it has its own challenges. So accessing more of our spiritual potential means creating actual, real-life, abundant results. It's all about results in our health, in our bank accounts, in our relationships. And this is the thing. This means that spirituality can no longer be about comfort or escapism. Taking new action based on spiritual wisdom and consciousness, by definition, means that we have to step out of our comfort zone. So spiritual practice does require discipline. But compared to taking new action in the world, spiritual practice is actually relatively safe. I mean, there's just no risk in sitting and meditating. Does it take tremendous discipline? Yes. And is that discipline hard? Yes. And it takes just as much discipline to take new action, but it feels riskier to us. And we're going to actually talk about egoic resistance and how this all relates to our survival instincts that try very hard to keep us safe, because this is the next step of spiritual and human evolution that we're about to head into. So we will be talking a lot more about that. So we can seek refuge in comfort and escapism, or we can experience the fullness of our divine potential within our physical experience. But the thing is, we cannot have both at the same time. Okay, and that's the problem. Right now, a lot of spiritual seekers are trying to do both. They're taking new spiritual teachings that say you can have whatever you want right now, but instead of taking productive action, we're going to talk so much more about what that actually looks like, because there's a big piece missing. But instead of using it effectively, they're using those teachings for comfort and escapism, and then wondering why the new results are not showing up. So a lot of people in the spiritual development community are trying to have both. They want comfort, escapism, and new results. And the thing is, there is no comfortable way to create new results. Nobody in the history of humankind has ever created anything epic and done so in a way that was comfortable, where they were just doing what they've always done and there was no risk involved. That has just never happened. We don't get to have both. So if you want to create a human experience that is an expression of your divine and spiritual potential, it's going to get a little uncomfortable. But, oh my God, it's so worth it. Because that is essentially what our souls came here for, to play with this human experience, to shape it like Play-Doh, like clay, and to mold it into what we want. And when we don't want that anymore, we just muck it all up and then we go create something else. We can do that in very practical ways where we actually create results. We have something to show for it. But only if we let go of spirituality as comfort and escapism that is required. And the thing is, we have become really jaded, right? I mean, I know I start rolling my eyes at mentions of law of attraction. It's not that I don't believe in it. It's just that I've heard so much talk about it from a lot of people who don't seem to be creating any results. And yet, never have we had such incredible opportunity to express our divinity and make this human experience exactly what we want. So the question is, what's been missing? Because obviously something's missing, right? We've learned about universal law. We've discovered we're the conscious creators of our experience, even though we don't quite know how that works yet. And we have the physical human experience in which we have so many choices available that we should be able to shape however we want. So the missing piece is an understanding of our own divine nature. For most people, the soul is like an appendix. We know we have one. We don't really know what it does. We don't. If you say to someone, describe your soul, they'll be like, right? If you want to get specific about it, what's your soul like? What's it made out of? What does it do for you? Most of us don't know. It's just one of those terms we toss around. We kind of think we have one somewhere up there. We don't know really what it does for us. Maybe our intuition comes from there. We call it our higher self. Okay, but we really don't understand it. We don't understand our divine nature. And if we don't understand our divine nature, how can we possibly express our divine nature into our human experience? We can't. If we don't understand what we're expressing, there's no way we can make our human experience a reflection of something that we don't even know. So that is the missing piece. And that's the missing piece that you will learn a great deal about in this modality. You are going to get to know the human soul so incredibly well and understand the mechanics, the energetic mechanics through which we're able to express our divinity into our humanity. So we're going to dive into that in our next video.